Thanks, Jay. Well, good morning again. Merry Christmas. Can't believe Christmas is almost here. Some of you actually live where it's going to snow. It's not going to snow where I live, not this week. Yep. That's true. Well, according to my Google weather thing, yeah. I would like to say thank you to many of you who are praying for us. Willie June and I went to Southern California this week. We left last Sunday. Our primary goal was to go down for our little granddaughter's fourth birthday. And that was really fun. And there were some other big events. Jamin took the final part of step two with his medical training. And I don't know if you want to say anything about that, brother, but you're... It went good. And the next big step is graduation. So we're praising God for that. Yeah. I'm very grateful. I've often said to you, I am so thankful for the church family who have helped raise my kids, be faithful examples of what it means to follow Jesus and walk with Him and to trust Him in hard times. To pray for each other, all of those things. I'm very, very, very grateful. The second, third thing that happened this week, I had the privilege to have lunch with two of my long-term pastor buddies. We started on staff together in the mid-80s. And on Monday, we had the chance to just sit and eat lunch together with my son Jonathan, who's now in ministry, and just catch up, pray for each other, spend time together. And... the final event, we had many, many things. By the way, we went to an indoor water park for my granddaughter's birthday. Woo! It was almost as good as roller coasters. It was a blast. And but the last thing was that we went to a memorial service for one of my seminary professors. He was in his 80s. I don't know his age exactly, but he was truly a pillar of faith in my life. And you have those. You have people that have meant a lot to you in your walk with God. And yesterday afternoon, I had the privilege, Willie June and I had the privilege to be surrounded by a whole bunch of these. They were men from 30 years ago when I was at Talbot Seminary with Biola University in Talbot Seminary. And honestly, I was so proud of them. And I was so encouraged by their lives, faithful years teaching the Word of God. And the guy who passed away, his name was Richard Wigsby, and he was like Doug Collier on steroids his whole life. If you can even imagine that. Seriously, if you could even imagine that. He just, Dr. Wigsby was, I was telling Dan this little story that one day a student brought their son in with them they didn't have daycare or something, and brought them into the Hebrew class. And so this little guy, 3 or 4 years old, so Dr. Wigsby fixed up a little bench in the corner so he could draw and do some stuff. And he said that, you know, kept him busy for about 10 minutes. And Dr. Wigsby put that little guy on his shoulders and ended up teaching the rest of the Hebrew class with that little guy on his shoulders, drawing on the board and just loving people. Not only that, but for the last 37 years, there was a church in Bell Gardens, California, and they needed a pastor. And so all those years, while he was a seminary professor, he was a pastor. And I am just grateful for the people in my life who went before me and who showed me that when it gets hard or when you get discouraged, it's worth the fight, it's worth the walk, it's worth treading forward and walking with Christ. And so praise God for those who have gone before us. It was a glorious, glorious time for me. My greatest regret was that there were some professors there that I didn't get a chance to see. It's just too many people to talk to. Jesus said, I have come that you might have what?
Life.
And that life more what?
Abundantly.
Jesus did not want us to be in spiritual poverty. He wanted us to have life abundant. Do you feel like your life is abundant? Now, if you're honest, my life goes like this. Maybe yours does too. But Jesus came and he said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That we would learn to walk with him. We would learn to trust him. We would learn that no matter what comes our way in our human experience, that God is faithful. And is he? Many of you could say that, and many of you could testify to the faithfulness of God. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, like I said earlier, in this season, Christmas can get lost. And there's a little slide up there that'll say that. The Christmas message can get lost. You know, when we get to the Thanksgiving Christmas season, there are all these movies on TV, Hallmark Channel, Family Channel, right? And they call them the what movies? The holiday movies, the Christmas movies, right? And it's interesting. How many of you watch some of those? I do. We have. Watch these Christmas movies, right? And they're kind of corny. They're kind of cheesy. But they're kind of cute. Do you know what I have noticed? I've noticed even in the Hallmark Channel, which tends to be a little more, down to the roots, Jesus is never mentioned. I would say almost never. Maybe he is some point. But generally, Jesus is not mentioned. It usually is a love story between a guy and a girl and a Christmas tree and a Christmas present and a letter or something like that. And they ended up, and it's kind of brings a little tear, and it's happily ever after. But they don't get to the true meaning of Christmas. You know, the true meaning of Christmas is a message of hope. It is eternal hope. It's the hope that we have in who? In Christ Jesus, who was born to be the Savior of the world. And my question is to you, what message of hope do you have for the people who ask you about the hope that lies within you? Don't let us be bashful about telling people the real roots and foundation of hope. It can only come in Christ. So, the other side of that is, what does hopelessness feel like? And we've mentioned that before. Hopelessness is terrible. It's depressing. It's discouraging. It brings fear and loneliness. God wants us to have hope. He wants you to have hope. And the message, the nugget message of the Christmas time, the Christmas story, is a message of hope. You can be completely forgiven by God. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross and rising again, and you will have hope not only for today, but for eternity. And some of you are here today, and you are lacking hope. Circumstances are overwhelming you, and you are feeling discouraged. Let me tell you, there is hope in Christ. And secondly, God put us in the family, the church family, the body of Christ. And he did that so that we would have people to come alongside us. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And on the scriptures go, talking about bearing one another's burdens and lifting each other up. Some of you are new today, and we're glad you're here. By the way, if you see a little card in the chair in front of you, I would love for you to put your name and phone number there, maybe your address, so we could have it. But far beyond that, like those kids in the Christmas play, we want to know you. We want to be a support to you. And if you live in this area and you don't already have a church home, be with the people of Christ. We are not a perfect bunch. I am not. We make mistakes, but what we are is on a journey with Jesus, and we're walking it together, and you need to be in church. We all need to be in church. Be with God's people. Be where, you know, God can teach you on the outside every day, but he calls us to be part of the body of Christ. So in the true Christmas message, the message of Christ brings these things, and I'm just going to go through them. Great hope for a hopeless world. Can you agree with that? Absolutely. Secondly, it's great promises established from eternity past. This is not just a story that somebody drew up. This is God's plan for redemption, for redeeming you, so that you can be completely forgiven and know that you will have a home in heaven with Christ. These are promises that God has established from eternity past, and they're unfolding, and we're watching them unfold. We're reading about them as they are unfolding. And finally, there is a genuine response to this story. Now, today, we're going to do something a little different. I've asked my friend Evan to play some music for us in just a few minutes. I would like for you, if you can just settle down in your heart a little bit, after we read the scripture, Evan, I'll have you come up. Just settle down in your heart a little bit and reflect on the story, this Christmas story that God has established for you. In this hymn, O Holy Night, and we're going to get there in just a minute, are these words that talk about hope for a hopeless world, that talk about great promises established in eternity past, and talk about a response. See, that's where your part comes in. You are to respond. I am to respond to the message that God has given. And we sing words like, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. This is the night that our Savior was born. Now, you and I can sing those just as hymns. They're familiar to us. We love them. They're beautiful. They're Christmas songs. But God is looking for far more than that from your soul. He is asking you to respond to Him, to believe in Him, to trust Him, and to worship Him. Let Him be more important than the people sitting next to you. Let Him be more important than the busyness of Christmas, that we would focus on who God truly is and this Savior, God in the flesh, who came to be our Savior. In this first verse of O Holy Night, it says these words, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. So we have a beautiful scene. It's the night of our dear Savior's birth, reminding us what it's all about. Listen to this next word, next line. Long, long lay the world in sin and error pining. You know what that word pining means? It's longing after. Oh, Lord, isn't there some hope somewhere? Long lay the world in sin and error pining. And people look for answers all over the place. And they don't look to the one who is God, who is the Savior, who is the one who fulfills all the prophecies. There is no hope. There is great hope in Christ. Can't you see this, though? Long lay the world in sin and error looking. They're pining. They're looking after something. They're trying to find hope. They're trying to find answers for the longing, for the hole that is in their life. And God wants to fill that for us. And then it says, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. Till He appeared when? As a baby in the manger. And then it says something happens to the individual people who believe and trust in Him. Till the soul felt its worth. What God made you for, and that He made you to know Him and to love Him. Let me read the scripture to us, and then I'd like you to just respond as Evan plays. Here's the scripture. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away secretly. That's very precious love. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord, by the way, that's a very miraculous part of this story. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Who named this baby. God did. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that is the gift that God gives to you if you accept it. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. And by the way, there are so many prophecies of the coming Savior in the Old Testament. I wish I could talk about the veracity of the Scriptures today, the truth of the Scriptures, the accuracy of the Scriptures, the accuracy of the prophecies of Scripture. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, and this is Isaiah, 800 years before, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, what? That is so significant. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, the Savior. Jesus, the Messiah. A God-given name. Jesus, the Deliverer. Is translated God with us. That, by the way, that's one more time and one more place where God declares the deity of the Son of God, that he indeed is God in the flesh. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. Jesus probably sounded just like that. We love kids. If you ever bring your kids to church, we're glad. As the Lord commanded him and took him to his wife, and he did not know her. They didn't have any intimacy until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now, this song, O Holy Night, is very familiar to all of us. As best you can, I'd just like for you to close your eyes. Think about this true message of Christmas. And Evan will just lead us through this music. And when he's done, then we'll continue. Let's contemplate and reflect on the story. Would you, with me? Thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. You know, the response, before him, lowly, what? Bend. Before him, lowly bow. And that's the response. You know, those wise men, those shepherds came. They recognized that he was the one. And they bowed before him. There are some scriptures I'd like to offer to you. The first ones I just called hopelessness described. And I think you will be able to see, they're very familiar verses, but just look at the hopelessness, the state that people are in before they know Christ. Okay? Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. That is a hopeless place to be a slave of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, those are hopeful words. We want to be freed from sin. We sing those songs, "My chains are gone, I've been set free," right? What a freedom it is to have our sin forgiven. But without our sin forgiven, there is a hopelessness. I don't care where you turn, how many Christmas stories you watch, what you participate in, how much benevolence you do. It's not going to take away the guilt and the pain of sin. The next scripture in the Psalms, it says, "My soul clings to the dust." Revive, just look for the words of hopelessness here. "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the ways of your precepts. So I shall meditate on your wonderful works." Verse 28, the psalmist writes, "My soul melts from heaviness." Can you relate to that? Sometimes. "Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously." I think you can see both the hopelessness and the hope that God is offering. Then jump with me to these scriptures that have to do with the great promises established from eternity past. You know, one of the questions people have to answer is the Bible credible? Is this Jesus' story about the first Christmas or the birth of Christ, is it credible? One of the things that we have to stand on, the pillars that we have to stand on to see the truth of God's word, have to do with these prophecies that have been made, that were spoken about the coming Savior. From Micah chapter 5, verse 2, we have this phrase that comes right in the scripture. It says that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem of Judah. And guess where he was born? You're right, that's where. That he would be born of a virgin. 800 years before, Isaiah said, "And the virgin shall be with child, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," again, which is God with us. The third scripture, that he would have a throne, a kingdom, and a dynasty or house, starting with King David, that would last forever. In 2 Samuel, the prophet speaks about that, and that the Christ would be a king in the line of David. And we saw that in the last sermons ago, where it talked about in the lineage of David, the Christ was born. That he would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, and would possess an everlasting kingdom. By the way, those descriptions of the Savior talk about his future reign. These last words talk about his future reign, the second coming of Christ, that Christ is going to return and he is going to reign. And you know who's going to reign with him? Believers. I can never truly fathom that. We are going to rule and reign with Christ. And this prophecy announces that. And lastly, that he would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. This is entering into the time when he would be crucified. That he would ride in Jerusalem on a donkey, righteous and having salvation, coming with gentleness. And there are so many more passages that talk about that. Mike, can I ask you for a little help here? Would you look up on the internet the scriptures from Luke chapter 1? And just for a moment, we're going to, from verse 26, Luke 1, 26 and following, it goes, through verse 38, we won't get to all of them, but I just want you to see some miraculous things. I was thinking, so what is so miraculous about this story of the Christ coming and being born into, conceived in Mary and born, named Jesus? And if you can work your magic back there, there it is. Look at that. Starting with verse 26. Can I just draw your attention to the miracles in this story? The miracle messengers that show up. Whose presence those messengers, this messenger Gabriel, is who he's in the presence of. And then the miraculous facts and God facts. Years ago, we used to talk about God's sightings at Pioneer Bible Church. Remember how many times in a testimony time, we talk about God sightings? Well, there's a bunch of God sightings right here in this passage. Let's look at it. It says, now in the sixth month, now this is when Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, was expecting a baby miraculously. Remember Zechariah and that whole story? In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. That's pretty cool. To a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And all of these individual places are part of prophecy. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, who was of the house of David. Prophecy fulfilled. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, can you imagine talking to an angel? And the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now, when Mary saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and she considered, what kind of a greeting is this? Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Listen to these miraculous things. Behold, you will conceive in your womb. You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. Now, they didn't have a reveal party back then. God revealed it to her. And you shall call his name Jesus. Again, how they named him. The angel told that to Joseph as well, so they didn't have to decide on which name. They both knew it was supposed to be Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. Is there any doubt in your mind what the Bible says about who Jesus is? What the Bible declares? He is the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob. You remember Jacob was the father of the 12 sons, the 12 tribes, where the whole nation of Israel came from. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Every kingdom on earth ends, not Jesus' kingdom. There will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, what a practical question. And we often end up asking God very practical questions. Lord, how can this be? Since I have never known a man. She'd never been intimate with a man. And the angel answered and said to her, here's how it happens. Miraculously, the Holy Spirit, Mary, will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born to you will be called the Son of God. Not the son of Joseph, the Son of God. Now, indeed, and just to give her a little confidence, he begins to talk about her cousin. Now, indeed,
Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible. Then Mary said, and I love this response. We're talking about responses this morning. What is our response to the message? What was Mary's response? Mary responded by saying, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Can you see some miraculous things in that story? God unfolding what he had planned and what he was going to do. So we've got these promises established from eternity past. So in this part of the message, I'll just say, have you placed your faith in the Christ of Christmas? Many of you have. Maybe some of you have not. Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer, the one who can forgive sins, wants you to respond personally to him. To say, God, I need you. I am hopeless. I need help. I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. God is offering that to you this very moment. Have you placed your faith in the Christ of Christmas? And then the next thought is, believing leads to a response of worship. So when you understand the message of Christ, and you respond by faith, putting your trust in him, there is a response of your soul. Wow, God, you've forgiven me. You've given me a new life. How is that going to show up in your spirit? How is that going to show up in your actions? How is that going to show up in your response to God? Man, if somebody rescued you from some terrible fire or some terrible water accident or somebody rescued you, once you gained your composure, you might give them a hug or something. You might shout out. You might say, thank you, thank you, thank you. There's a response from us. Often, when we sing here, we always sing in the beginning of our services. We're singing songs of praise and worship. Now, everybody here is gifted differently by the Holy Spirit and responds differently. But for years we've said, and I have said, if God prompts you to raise your hands in worship, raise your hands in worship. If he prompts you to kneel before him, kneel before him. We're also trying to be more give an opportunity for people to come and kneel at the front and pray if they want to pray, if they want somebody to come and pray for them. Way back in the book of 1 Chronicles, these people had a response to God. It says, sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the people. That's an opportunity for us to declare his wonders among the people. That's not just amongst the believers, but out there where you go also. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. By the way, all the gods of the peoples are what? They're not real. And there's a lot of people believing and bowing down to and giving homage to false gods. But the Lord, just to remind you, the Lord made the heavens. In Romans chapter 1, there's another response verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable response. It's your reasonable act of worship to come before him. And don't be conformed to this world. That's bowing down to the world. And I think we all need help with that. We tend to bow down to some stuff in the world. And that's just a cheap, you know, what? A cheap imitation of what God has for us. Don't bow down to the world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove that which is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. And lastly, a response in Revelation. Those in heaven are singing out, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." We either choose to believe God's word or not. I'm grateful to be surrounded by a bunch of people who love Jesus. We are responding to him. So this song, "O Holy Night, the Stars Are Brightly Shining," is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay this world in sin and error, pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Ah, thrill of hope, the weary world. You understand that word, weary? Oh boy. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morning, a new and glorious opportunity, a new and glorious change, new creatures in Christ Jesus. So fall on your knees and hear the angels' voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born, O night divine, O night divine. Mike, we're going to skip the rest of that song. And I have asked our brother, Evan, to play one more song for us, a very, very familiar song. And we're going to do the same thing. I'd just like for you to pause and respond. The words are so familiar. And so we respond in faith. God, you did it. You are who you said you are. We respond in reverence before him. And we respond in worship. By the way, this is the true message of Christmas. Let's just close our eyes and worship the Lord as our brother plays. Blessing. So the message of Christmas brings great hope for a hopeless world, from great promises established from eternity past, leading to genuine response of faith, reverence, and worship. Kate and the team, would you come? And we're going to sing a closing song. And I just want to invite you, if you have never put your faith and trust in Christ the Savior, we'd love to pray with you. If you want to pray about something else, God's just touched your heart and you need some encouragement, some hope, somebody to come alongside. It's a challenge sometimes to come forward.
We'll actually stay up here until after we're done singing. And then if you want to come and pray, we'd love to pray with you. All right? The Christ of Christmas is alive, and he loves you. Let's worship him.
Why don't we go ahead and stand as we close this morning and just sing our hearts out with joy and celebration of all that the Lord has done for us.
Beautiful, beautiful. Have a wonderful Christmas day, and Christmas Eve, we'll see you maybe tomorrow night at 7. Hey, today there's some maybe some new people standing by that you don't know. Would you introduce yourself to them? And maybe you're kind of discerning that you need some hope or some encouragement, or maybe the person next to you does. Would you be a minister of Jesus and just try to pick that up? God bless you.